And now comes a moment of truth. Bonnie, which sermon am I preaching? Who wants to work for this guy or the joy of the harvest? The joy. Thank you. Yesterday evening, somebody picked, who wants to work for this guy? 8:15, somebody picked, who wants to work for this guy? And I told people at the earlier service, stay on till the later service, and somebody pick the other one, and then I'll have to preach on that. So I get to preach on that. The joy of the harvest. So the text for the sermon is from the gospel, verse 15, tiny numbers. I'm going to read it to you, taking the last quote back to more original to the Greek. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me, or is your eye evil because I am good? Now, there's a turn of phrase. Is your eye evil because I am good? So the joy of the harvest. This is something digging down deep into the Word of God, digging down deep into what is this all about? The parable has set up a contrasted view of things. There's the view of the workers and the view of the master of the vineyard. Guess who's pictured by the master of the vineyard? That would be God. Okay? What has God decided to do? And this is what God decided to do before he ever began to create the world. It's what God decided to do before he said, let there be light. It's what he decided to do before Adam and Eve came into being. It's what he decided to do before he created the angels. What he decided to do was plan salvation. Because God knew before anything started that Adam and Eve would wander off from him. They would depart into sin. They would reject him. They would not listen to his words. His words that blessed them. His words that invited them to spend all of forever being his friends. They wouldn't listen to his words. They'd listen to the words of the devil. See that tree over there? Looks good, doesn't it? Has God said, you'll die? You will not surely die. You eat of it, you'll become like God. Who doesn't want to be like God? And they listened to that. God knew that they would do that. But planning out salvation, there is something that a lot of people who are not part of the church do not realize this part of it. Those outside of the church, they think, oh, they're there so that they can work their way into heaven, or they're there and what it's all about is getting to heaven. That's what it's all about for Christians, is getting to heaven, right? Wrong. Because you see, the getting to heaven and the being with God, well, that's just the beginning. Measure out, if you will, measure out all the time of this world and all the time of eternity and compare them. Now, this is an obvious observation, isn't it? Yeah. The time in this world is very, very tiny. And when comes time that Jesus comes... Oh, by the way, you have heard that Jesus is coming back, right? Yes. It's true. Yeah, he's coming back. So when Jesus comes back, and we stand before him and he says, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master. That's the beginning. That's not the end. It's not final exam and now everything's over. It's the beginning. It's the launching on something. And when Jesus tells other parables to bring this out, he talks about heaven is like a wedding banquet. A wedding banquet that goes on and on and on. And there's celebration. Go back into the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 25. You can look it up. Isaiah 25 talks about a feast that God is preparing on this mountain of rich foods, finest wines, and on he goes on about this. And then they will say, celebrating with him, this is our God, we waited for him. This is our God, and he has saved us. So that's one of the pictures. Another one of them comes along in the parable of the prodigal son. I haven't said this for a couple of years, I think. In the parable of the prodigal son, you get toward the end of the parable, and the older son, the one who didn't wander off, he comes near the house. As he comes near the house, what does he hear? What are Jesus' precise words? Music and dancing. Okay? Now, Jesus is the author of the parable, so he gets to choose the words, right? So his description of what it is like to be with God in heaven is, well, it's like music and dancing. How sweet is that? So, being there, getting there, just the beginning, and it goes on for all eternity, a celebration endlessly with God. That's the plan. So here's the parable of the vineyard. God is working his vineyard. The vineyard is this world. And in this world, there is all kinds of people that need to be brought into the harvest. Were the grapes, if you will. And he works and works at bringing us into the harvest. When it's time for the harvest, he calls for workers in his harvest field. And some come in toward the beginning, and some in the middle, and some later, and some very last hour. What's the goal? Bring as much of the harvest in as is possible. And at that point, I have to share with you a show I saw on television. It was about a vineyard out west in Oregon. Is that how you say it correctly? Oregon? Oregon, yeah. Because they say it differently out in Oregon than a lot of people in the Midwest say it. Oregon. No, it's Oregon. Oregon. Yeah, slightly longer on the word Oregon. But Oregon. Vineyard out there. The owner plants very specific grapes. He's going for a certain vintage of grape and certain vintage of wine. And if he does it exactly right, it will sell for a lot and he will rake in money right and left. So, for the vineyard, he goes out day by day as it's getting near ripe, and he samples a few grapes. Not ready yet. Next day, not ready yet. Next day, not ready yet. Goes out on a morning and samples the grapes, and they're to perfection. What has to happen is that he has to bring in the entire crop that day. Now there's an urgency. And in case you haven't noticed, there is an urgency with the gospel. Because now is the day of salvation. When it comes to the end, there's no more bringing in to eternal life. There's an urgency. The owner of the vineyard out there in Oregon calls in workers to harvest the crop. Keeps track of how many acres have been harvested, how many remain to be done. How late in the day is it? How quick are they moving? He gets partway through the day. They're not making it. What does he do? Hires more. And he will pay them. He will pay them whatever he needs to do to bring in that crop, because that crop is so precious. This is the attitude of the owner of the vineyard. And that's a great illustration illustrating the attitude of God, who says his crop, souls coming into eternal life to live with him through eternity, that is so important. It deserves every effort and as many as he can get coming into his vineyard to help bring in the harvest. And so there you and I come along a second time in the parable. Not only are we the crop, we're also the workers. Funny how that happens. But as we're brought into the kingdom of heaven, we become workers in the kingdom of heaven. And now you get to that point where at the end of the day, some of the workers grumble. They're getting as much of heaven as we're getting. Wait. That does not work, does it? Lord, he got as much eternity as I got. He didn't work as long. Doesn't make sense, does it? You can't have more or less of eternity. You cannot have more or less of being saved and living forever. Either you are or you aren't. And with one little detour, we'll just then go into that. The one little detour is, I got to share with you this story about a father who had a couple of sons, and it was time for dessert, and he cut two pieces of chocolate cake and gave them to the kids. And you know what happened? One of the kids said, "You got more than me." Father had a solution. It was called a fork. He took a bit of the bigger piece and ate it. Which immediately then the other son says, "Now," or that son, "now his is bigger." You know where this is going, don't you? He still has the fork. And now the kids are looking at each other going, "We're not saying anything." So that was the little detour. But there is something bigger afoot here than just getting to heaven. What it is that God desires to share with us the things of God. Not just have us living forever. You know, if you had a person who wasn't a Christian, who didn't believe in Jesus, who by some weird mistake ended up in heaven, would they appreciate it? Not really. Because the real thing of heaven is who you are with. That means being with God, we have our whole being, our attitude, our heart, our thinking, everything brought into harmony with him. Now remember, this is God who says what heaven is like, well, it's like music and dancing. So it's not like, here's your harp and here's your harp, now start strumming. It's not like that. It's not like, now we're going to have a worship service and it's going to last forever. Sit still and behave. It's not like that. Heaven is the joy of life, the joy of the love and the blessings of God, the joy of knowing and being connected to God, the joy of all that God is and all that he can do and all that he can give. That's the joy of heaven. And it goes beyond anything that we are able to conceive of or imagine. We're just saying in Bible study that God insists on surprising. He does that. That's what he's like. Now, Abraham thinks going to the promised land is going to be this. He has no idea. Walking with God is going to be something that goes way beyond anything that he has ever been able to dream of or imagine. The disciples think, oh, following Jesus, that's going to mean he's setting up a kingdom here. They have no idea. They have no idea of the blessings that are going to roll out for them. Illustration. Nathanael comes to Jesus. And Jesus says, you believe in me because I said I saw you under the fig tree? You're going to see greater things than this. You're going to see angels ascending and descending, serving the Son of Man. You have no idea what is beginning to unfold. So for the workers in the vineyard, the joy of the harvest is not only that we get to be part of a kingdom where we live forever. Part of the joy of the harvest is that we are connected with Jesus and sharing in all of the things that are his and all of what he is and all of what he does. And those are blessings. Well, the Bible says it again and again. Paul says it this way. It has not entered into the mind of man what God has prepared for those who love him. But all of this, how's it come to us? Comes through Jesus. A Savior who would prize you so much that he would come into this world to suffer, die, and rise for you? Is he going to settle with just having you live forever? No. He's going to have us live forever with blessings beyond our imagination. That's the character of God. That is why we follow him. That is why we rejoice in his kingdom. That is why when we talk about the joy of the harvest, salvation, forgiveness, eternity, all of these things being poured out on us. And how sweet it is to belong to him. In Jesus' name, amen.